Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Press Zero to Crouch, DK Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Or press O, or press circle, or press B, or press whatever the heck controller you're using. Welcome to the gaming segment, where we delve into chips and bits and ones and zeros and ways to keep us distracted from the giant darkness outside.
The darkness?
The darkness specifically.
See the comic episode from yesterday.
Yeah. A big thank you to our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. Yes, even you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. One of my favorites, by the way, is this. It's from the Scott Pilgrim movie. It's a ba-bomb. It's a sex ba-bomb shirt that I got from Shirtosaurus. So whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s, cartoons, or you're just weird. Oh, another favorite shirt. It's a red one that just says Magneto was right. You can find all of your favorite designs right now at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. You like Pops?
Gotta
have your Pops. Well, they got plenty of Pops and Legos and all that other stuff. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with a postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Well, welcome to the gaming segment. I hope you guys are well rested.
Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I've got a few reviews to get to, but first, Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
So, you know the problem with releasing the demo for the fourth game in a series? Is that nothing makes a lick of sense.
Okay.
This was my experience playing Siberia, The World Before, a sequel and also somehow a prequel to the series, and I have no idea what it is about. They even had an option on the main screen for "This is the story so far," and I watched it, and I'm still as confused as a fart in a fan factory. Story follows Kate,
I've been there.
I guess, a reporter slash adventurer that's wanted by the United States for some reason, and she gets caught up in a pre-World War II stuff, and also there's robots. It, kind of like last month, it's a point-and-click adventure thing, but unlike last month's, this is a visual novel and a lot less intricate puzzle solving. The deepest puzzle I had to solve was, you need to write a thank you note. Oh shit, where's the pen? Oh, it's probably over here in this drawer that's labeled pens.
Okay.
It's a slow game. Even the running seems to be through water. I mean, it's just... This thing came out like a month ago. The graphics are reminiscent of like an early 2000s American McGee PC game.
Oh, like Alice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it looks like that. Very
not pretty.
Muddy, very, very blurry.
OG Xbox.
Very much so.
Okay.
And there's this distinct feeling that the whole thing would just be a better experience on a PC with a mouse. Now, being story-driven, jumping in on the fourth game, it's not recommended. And the demo doesn't make a compelling argument to jump in now. So, not even the demo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we're going to see how many more demos we can find this year because, boy, there's not many places who are making them.
Man. We've got a. Hey, Valve, if you're listening, send us an extra Steam Deck so Chad can try some PC demos.
Would love.
Yeah. Justin.
Yes.
So I was looking at, we've got access to everyone's browser history here.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing a whole lot of things on the internet, specifically on Reddit. What's up with that?
Well, thank you for asking. Also, thank you for not talking about the other things you may have found. As many of you know, I don't get a chance to play many video games, but I have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the gaming community. So I go to Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think need a definitive answer. And I address that in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. This month's question, does this game exist?
Oh, Lord.
The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines existence as to have real being, whether material or spiritual. But the philosopher Plato assessed that the physical world is not really the real world. Instead, ultimately, reality exists beyond our physical world. So the real question is, do we exist? Maybe the game is the real world, and we're the pixels on the screen. Either way, yes, the game exists.
I have found myself with more questions now.
That's philosophy.
Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
Fight the darkness.
The darkness. Speaking
of darkness, I did play a game.
Okay.
Starting last year sometime, I took it upon myself to go through my Gamefly account and start adding in random games based solely on their cover art. I am literally judging a game by its cover. And so this month's selection is called Astro Knight. So,
okay.
Y'all remember the Game Boy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. This had slightly better graphics than the Game Boy because instead of matte black on muted lime green, it's black and white.
Okay.
Same kind of pixelization, so very low resolution. But when you put it on like a 63-inch TV,
oh no,
when it flashes, it's very bright and hurts your eyes.
Mm.
So you start off as an astronaut in a spaceship. Spaceship crashes. But that's okay. You still got your jetpack, you still got your spacesuit for protection, you still got your ray gun. Then suddenly you don't.
Oh, good.
And then you gotta go find all this stuff. And you're now very vulnerable. You can only jump a little bit and you have no weapons. So you make it through a little bit and you see your ray gun. You're like, oh, good, I can at least defend myself. And then these weird little spider things pick it up and take it away as if the game is taunting you. And then I died a lot. And said one star because it ejected from the game console.
Okay. Yeah, that's the TMNT on the Wii review there. All right.
This would probably look better on a handheld than it did on my TV, because at least if the flashing is going to occur, it will give you a seizure and not the entire room.
Well, yeah, that's more bang for your buck right there, though.
I was going to say, that's a feature.
That's efficiency.
Yeah. So, not my cup of tea. Returned it. Oh, but I got another one coming.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to the next one. We do have a series of reviews to get to. Chad, why don't you go first?
So
next, I should say.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, I played a new-to-me tabletop game
this
past month.
Gaming exists in all forms.
Yes, it does.
So, this one's called The Tree-Lined Avenue. And it is a drafting tile placement game, you know, so you got cards and you're basically trying to create the best, prettiest, most consistent walkway or avenue in a common park. So everybody is planting trees and putting, you know, pathways in this one big 6x6 tile park.
Kind of like a city building game?
Kind of a thing.
Okay.
Very much like King Domino.
Okay.
So... the game's inherently competitive, But if you want higher scores, then a bit of cooperation is a good thing. And I had noticed lately that the first time through a game anymore, the rules are needlessly complicated.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every game is now, like, needlessly complicated the first time through. The same is true here. After playing through the game once or twice, some of it makes sense. I doubt anyone's going to be flipping tables over this game. Like, it just doesn't have that Monopoly flair competitive
it's not Monopoly
drive.
Level. Okay. All right.
But if you want just kind of a nice, quiet evening with some friends, it's a pretty quick and peaceful game that you play. It takes about 20 minutes, and then you decide whether or not you want to play again or you want to turn on Jackbox.
Okay. Cool.
But I give it a B.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Cool. Thank you. Well, we've got the pile of shame coming up, but first we've got a couple other reviews to get to. Let's start with the bad. So,
isn't that most of today, you said?
Yeah.
Oh.
One great thing about Xbox Game Pass is that it allows you to play games without having to buy them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God, am I happy about that, because I was super excited when High on Life was announced. And then I played High on Life.
Oh, did you?
Oh, I got some things. I got some thoughts. High on Life is a game that is written by Justin Roiland. If that name is familiar to you, you're probably a Rick and Morty fan, because he's the creator of Rick and Morty. And that comedy is prevalent throughout the game. See, it starts with Earth being invaded by an alien drug cartel. They use the human population as drugs, as in, like, these aliens get high off of human beings.
Of course they do.
Okay.
Do they
lick their hindquarters like
they
we
eat
do
them.
Frogs?
They eat them.
See, I'm less interested now.
Yeah. But so in order to escape, you do manage to get a gun off of one of these aliens. And the gun is called a Gatling, and it's an alien. It talks. It is an alien creature that fires bullets out of its butt, and it tells you how you can, you know, grab a warp crystal from the alien spaceship, and you basically teleport your entire house to another alien planet. Your entire house, which, by the way, starts getting parking tickets the longer you play, because the house is illegally parked on the space station.
Okay.
And the ticket specifically says illegal house parking. So, you know, that's the kind of humor we're looking at here.
All right.
It's a first-person shooter, and you are tasked with assassinating members of the G3 cartel. And you can pick up a total of six of these living alien guns called Gatlians. My favorite one is it's like a heavy machine gun, like a Gatling gun, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they all talk to you with different voices. But this one, every time you pick it up, it just says, "Let's do it." And that's all he says. And there's a point toward the end of the game where you can, quote, sacrifice one of them to, like, destroy an alien weapon. And, of course, whatever you sacrifice is still alive afterwards. And you go pick it back up. You pick this one up, and he's like, "We did it." And that's, again... Right? So there's a lot of humor there. And it's a good thing the humor's there, because nothing else about this game is good.
Whoa.
The gunplay is... Oh, no. I take it back. There's one other thing. I'm getting to that. But the gunplay is super spongy. You know, all the enemies are about... All the enemies are the same. Like, there's the same three or four types, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those games that throws thousands of jokes at you, hoping that one or two will land within a minute. So it's something that everyone talks and everything talks. And they're thinking that if we just throw enough feces at the wall, you're going to laugh. And that's kind of how it works. The plot is nonsensical for the most part. And the boss fights are boring as hell.
How could that be?
I've each boss fight that I encountered lasted way too long, where it felt like my bullets did nothing. And of course, there's also the glitches, which, bonus points for them, having a disclaimer when you first launch the game that says any glitches you find are intentional and are references to glitches in other games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I encountered a glitch on the second boss where this was like a tunnelier. He would like tunnel and then he'd pop back up, right? And I got him to like almost no health and he tunneled and then he just never came back. The boss fight music continued. His health bar was still on the screen. He just never came back. You want to know how long it took that fight for me to get to that point? 20 minutes.
Whoa.
And you know when the checkpoint was? Right before the fight started.
Of course.
Oh.
So you know what I had to do? Reload the game. I had to reload the game.
I was going to say, you had to put it down and say, you know what?
I walked away from it for like a week. Because...
Damn. I was
mad.
It's like the game Spec Ops The Line. You know, it just makes you do increasingly horrible and horrible things.
Right, but Spec Ops The Line, there's a difference here. Spec Ops The Line is good.
But what the point I'm going to make here is that there's a point where you're supposed to be like, if I don't want to be a horrible person,
yeah,
I have to put this game down.
Right. Now,
I don't care about the story at this point.
There's one super fun fact about this game. So early on, you meet this alien who's essentially a bum. And he's like, I'll help you become a bounty hunter, but you got to let me live in your house.
Oh, sure.
Fine. Whatever. You know, he and your annoying sister kind of develop this, you know, bickering relationship. And he hangs out on your couch every time you come to the house and he watches things on TV. And sometimes it's like normal space cable things, right? But the developers bought the rights to a 1994 American sci-fi horror comedy film and put the entire film on the TV in your house so you can just sit there and watch the movie with this alien as opposed to like doing anything else.
What movie?
Tammy and the T-Rex.
I know that one. Oh, my God. Chad, have you seen Tammy and the T-Rex?
I regret to say that I have.
In which Denise Richards and Paul Walker.
Yes.
Denise Richards is a high schooler who her boyfriend is beat up by some thugs, thrown into a lion's pit. His brain is salvaged and is put in the body of an animatronic Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Uh-huh.
How do I know this? Having not seen the movie before I played High on Life? I watched the movie while playing High on Life.
Uh-huh.
I sat on the couch next to the alien and I watched the whole damn thing.
Oh. My favorite part of that movie is at the end when the dinosaur is destroyed, but they still have his brain in like a little petri dish and it's hooked up to... like electronics, so he can talk, and it's in her room, and she's undressing,
yeah,
and he short circuits.
Yeah. Yeah. The penultimate scene, as Justin just said, brain in petri jar, and Denise Richards, it's a damn attractive woman, is doing a striptease, and his brain blows up. You know, short circuits the room. So yeah, Tammy and the T-Rex is featured entirely in the video game High on Life. And it is probably one of the best things about the video game High on Life.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How much does this game go for?
It is on sale for, I believe, $70. But you can get it on Xbox Game Pass as well as Game Pass for PC. You can download it for free as long as you have an active membership.
Okay, because Tammy and the T-Rex on Blu-ray is $22 on Amazon, so...
So there you go.
So there you go. Just buy the movie.
All right, so that's High on Life.
Oh. My favorite part about this whole thing is if you look up Tammy and the T-Rex on Wikipedia, the very first thing you will learn about it,
yeah,
really, is Tammy and the T-Rex in its entirety... was featured in the video game High on Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Moving on. The next game I played, and you saw some of it if you follow our Twitch channel or if you follow us on YouTube. Easier way to find us now on YouTube since they've added handles. YouTube.com/@GeekCaveTV, just so you know. Crisis Core, the prequel to Final Fantasy VII that was, at one point, exclusive to the PlayStation Portable, the PSP, and it was physically exclusive. There was no digital version, which meant if you wanted to play it, it was going to cost you a hell of a lot of money until this year. Square, realizing that Final Fantasy VII Remake Part II was still quite a bit a ways off, but they absolutely needed to keep it to the forefront of the general consciousness, did us a solid and remastered Crisis Core. And let me say, I'm here for it. This game, I finished it yesterday. I finished it right before we taped yesterday. And start to finish, it's a game that I was well familiar with the story. Just, I'm not going to spoil too much, although the game is quite old, so you should know by now, if you were interested at all. Zach is a member of Soldier, the same elite group of mercenaries that Cloud from Final Fantasy VII ends up being affiliated with. And Zack uncovers a huge conspiracy within Shinra. And if you played Final Fantasy VII, spoilers, you know Zack died heroically defending Cloud. Now, in Crisis Core Remastered, it looks pretty. They're using the same engine as Final Fantasy VII Remake. Combat is real-time. It's very good. I really can't say enough good things about the game because I do love it. Except, one, it's incredibly short. I finished the campaign in, like, 12 hours. But it is a single-player action game. It's not like your typical RPG. And two, because it's remade in the remake engine, and they use some of the voice actors, my wife, in particular, was super hopeful that they... Since, spoilers for Final Fantasy VII Remake, they created some kind of, like, time... split timeline hijinks where instead of in the original, Zack does not die and he shows up at Midgar at the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake. And so she's thinking, oh, well, Zack is going to live at the end. No. In fact, they somehow made his death even worse, even more depressing, even more hopeless. So I had a slight tear as I finished the game. But Crisis Core, still very good. If you haven't played it yet and you've always been curious about some of the stuff that happened before Final Fantasy VII, absolutely pick it up. Just a word to the wise, like most Square Enix RPGs, story's not going to make much sense. And also, there is a character named Genesis. He ends up being the main bad guy, and he is... Do you remember people in high school and college who, once they got into Shakespeare, that was their entire personality?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, all they did was quote it. All they did was they thought that it made them look smart, but really they just ended up looking like a giant tool.
Okay, that's, I recognize giant tool.
That's the main antagonist of Final Fantasy VII, Crisis Core. He gets enamored with this play called Loveless, and every single time you encounter him, he's quoting it. And at some point, something inside me snapped, and I'm like, I swear to God, if you say one more line from that stupid, stupid book that doesn't even exist in the real world, I'm going to find a way to make you real just so I can stab you in the dick. But that being said, Crisis Core gets a play it from me. High on Life gets a get it on Game Pass and watch Tammy and the T-Rex. And then do whatever you will.
Or just buy it cheaply on Amazon.com and just watch the movie.
Yeah, High on Life, maybe get High on Life whenever like it's on a Steam sale or something when it's like $20 or something like that. Just for the gun that's like, let's do it. All right, is there anything further, gentlemen?
No, hold on. I'm looking up to see what streaming services, if any, Tammy and the T-Rex is on.
I think most of it's on YouTube.
You could stream it on Tubi, which is a free service.
There you go. Find Tammy and the T-Rex on Tubi.
Again, not a sponsor, just a big fan. No, that concludes my business for today.
Okay. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected, every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
All right. Well,
oh boy.
Welcome to Darren's Pile of Shame, where I take a look at my looming stack of games that I've been meaning to get around the plane, gently pull one out like I'm playing a game of the most financially dangerous version of Jenga, and see if it's time and money well wasted. It is said that life is like a hurricane in the provincial town known as Duckburg. Ooh. There are race cars, lasers, even airplanes. It is for certain a duck blur. But did this month's game inspire me, or is it better as forgotten history? It's time to talk about DuckTales 2.
Woo! Woo!
This year, we are revisiting the Nintendo Entertainment System every month, this segment, because this year marks 40 years since the NES first debuted as the Famicom in Japan, essentially saving the video game industry. And what better game to start with than a game that came out near the end of the NES's lifespan, back in June 1993. The one and only, until recently, extremely rare DuckTales 2.
Woo!
Yeah. Developed by Capcom, it had the Herculean task of following up the smash hit and perennial classic DuckTales.
Woo!
Which was based on the popular Disney afternoon cartoon and has itself gotten the remaster and remake treatment back in 2013. You can get it on Steam, PS4, Xbox. I think you can get it on Switch. I know you can get it on Wii U because that's what actually we have it on. And a whole bunch of other stuff. It's good. Play it. Play DuckTales Remastered. Ooh, it's also the last role that Alan Young had.
Really?
Yeah. He was the voice of Scrooge, as you know. Mm-hmm. He came back for the game. That was the last role he had.
Huh.
So track that one down if you haven't. The plot is essentially the same as the first game. Scrooge visits several exotic locales, kills the local wildlife, makes off with the precious treasures that belong to long-lost civilizations. Wait a minute. Am I the bad guy here? No. Well, maybe a little. Now, I'm joking, of course. The bad guy is something that I think I'm going to encounter a lot in this year's series. Endlessly spawning birds that show up right when I'm hopping from one rope or vine to another over a bottomless pit, and they constantly either fly into me or throw whatever bullcrap they're carrying until I fall off and die. What kind of lazy prick? What I mean is, the game is harder than its cute exterior lets on. Although you are able to pick your difficulty level, that seems to only apply to damage taken from enemies, not the cheap strategies that they happen to employ. Now, unlike most NES games, DuckTales 2 and its predecessor is a non-linear game. That means that you can tackle most of the levels in any order you want. You know, you can start with the Amazon, or you can go, you know, explore a sunken treasure ship, that kind of thing. It's also a bit like Capcom's Mega Man series, as in each level you'll find unlockable abilities that'll help you explore areas in other levels that you would otherwise not be able to reach. Money is the top priority here, as it is in life. Your grand total at the end of each level can be spent on upgrades and such, but it's best to save as much as you can. In the first game, for example, if you didn't bank enough cash, even if you beat the game, you got the bad ending, in that Scrooge lost his entire fortune spending it to find these relics. Hmm. And you get a newspaper headline with, like, sad-looking Scrooge on it. And you get something similar if you get the bad ending in this game as well. Hmm. Controls are fine. It's an NES game, and this was made back when Capcom knew what it was doing. So all you have to worry about are two buttons. Just two. One jumps, and the other has various contextual applications, usually having to do with Scrooge's cane, either solving puzzles, taking out enemies. And graphically, I mean, it's a Nintendo Entertainment System game. So if you want to know what it looks like, look for any popular indie game right now. Kind of looks like that. That's not a bad thing, though. It's not so ancient that it looks bad, but obviously they were working with limited technology. There is one big problem in that there is a bit of frame rate slowdown if too much is happening on the screen at once, such as, I don't know, 5 or 6 giant freaking birds flying at me with eggs that they're dropping from the... You know, cheap enemies aside, though, DuckTales 2 really is like having seconds of your favorite meal. You know, the first go around was great. The second time, just as good. It's short, just like the first game, but it's still worth your time. Although it is a bit pricey for the NES version now for obvious reasons. If I were you, I would track down the Disney Afternoon Collection. It was released on everything but Nintendo consoles for some reason. Even though it has 6 NES games on it. I don't know. Capcom, maybe Nintendo owes them money? I don't know. But you'll get that game plus 5 other Disney classics, and you'll get a nifty rewind feature that lets you erase your mistakes when that stupid, ugly bird knocks you into a pit once again.
My friend, when the War of the Beasts brings about the world's end, the goddess descends from the sky, wings of light and dark spread afar.
I swear to God!
She guides us
to bliss.
If that
is freaking loveless.
Her gift everlasting.
You know, something funny about Crisis Core is that there's this fruit in the game called Dumb Apples, which is basically a purple apple, but they're called Dumb Apples for some reason. And whoever wrote the loveless thing in Crisis Core needs a dumb apple shoved up their dumb ass.
Ripples form on the water's surface. The wandering soul knows no rest.
DuckTales 2 gets four woos out of 5.
Wings stripped away. The end is nigh. There is no hate, only joy. For you are beloved by the goddess.
Oh, I love this book.
Be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including Comics, which came out yesterday, and Movies, which might come out tomorrow.
My friend, do you fly away now? Yes. To a world that abhors you and I? There's all that awaits you is a somber morrow. No matter where the winds may blow, my soul corrupted by vengeance hath endured torment to find the end of the journey.
Do you see how pretentious that is?
Brings back so many memories of college.
There's also You Want Me to Watch What? Which, again, might happen this month.
No, we picked out movies. It's okay.
Yeah, we got movies picked. We have to do it.
That's our movie review podcast. Really, I shouldn't say Mike, because that's the one that got us featured on Amazon Music. So congratulations, guys. As well as the Week 3 podcast and the occasional TLDR. You can also find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast for live streams. You can check out Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel, which you can find along with links to all of our social media channels and our Discord at DeepCavePodcast.com. And be sure to join that Discord channel because you can chat with us one-on-one, you can meet other Deep Cave fans, share your ideas, and get early access to every new episode. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Remember, Loveless sucks, and everyone's a geek for something.
Woo!